Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or visit mensteaclinic.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for a little Rangers discussion. And yes, I know, Mike. I tried really hard to find some positives.
They played all the games.
They did play all of the games. But just to show you one of the things that I like kind of walked away with, and this is the best I can do. I realize they lost the series to the Yankees. I looked at it and I was like, hey, in those last two games, they scored 16 runs. Now, I obviously get the counter argument is, and you still only won one of those two games, and you've still gone all of the second half without winning a series against a team that wasn't the White Sox. So all of those are bad things. But, Mike, I found one more historical precedent to try to change your mind. Realize I'm really running out of time on these historical precedents. I take you to the 1973 New York Mets. They were 53-65 at this point in the season. The Rangers are 55-63. That's two games better. And the Mets not only made the playoffs, they won their division. Now, was this one of the weirdest years in recent base or modern baseball history? Yes, because that was the only team in that division that finished with a winning record. Even though there were three teams in the other division that had a winning record, well, too bad for you.
So you're saying poor division.
Yes.
Kevin, what are you seeing with the Astros and Mariners? Did they do well over the weekend?
They actually did pretty okay.
Didn't the Mariners score like 12 runs yesterday?
Yeah.
I think the Mariners swept over the weekend.
So now the Rangers are 7.5 back, which is further back than I think they've been at any point just in the division race. This year, they've only won 3 of their last 10 games. And by my calculations, they would need to go, or that Mets team went 29-14 down the stretch.
That doesn't get it done.
I think you're probably right. You need to go at least 30-14. And even then,
probably not.
I don't think you're going to make it. And what in the world has led us to believe that that could even happen?
How about this? I just did this quickly as you were talking, because I remember looking at this, because you're talking about they've only won the White Sox series since the All-Star break.
Correct.
How about this? In the month of June, okay, let's just go back to June. They had 9 series in the month of June. I'm including Miami to be nice, because Miami, as I go up here, they played May 31st, June 1st, and 2nd. I'm including that as a series in the month of June. Out of the 9 series, they won 3 of them.
Oh,
so
dear.
They were 3-6 in winning series in the month of June. Now, the thing that kind of propelled them to a maybe, won the division is horrible, Two is right before the All-Star break. They won against Tampa Bay, the Angels, and Houston. They won three series in a row going into the All-Star break, but that was in July. If I just go to the month of June, they went 3-6 in series in that.
Yeah.
And that was, they beat Miami 2-1. They beat the Dodgers, crazily enough, 2-1, and they swept Kansas City. Those were the three series they won. They lost the series to Detroit. Does that sound like a playoff team?
Nope.
San Francisco?
Nope.
Seattle? Maybe. New York Mets? I guess they're in right now as the last wild card team. Milwaukee and Baltimore. Both teams will probably make the playoffs. Like that wasn't like an easy schedule. It also wasn't a hard schedule. It was a normal month of June schedule for teams. It wasn't overly crazy. It wasn't easy either, but they don't win series. So if you can't win series in June, and then you can't win series after the All, and literally only one after the All-Star break, they would have to literally pretty much win every series the rest of the way. They have to go 31-12, if I have the number of games right at this point, to get to 86 wins.
Let's see.
They have 63 losses.
That's honestly too much math for me.
So I think 31, they have 43 games left, I think. 31-12. To get to 86 wins, which maybe doesn't. Here's your problem.
One more game.
You don't have the tiebreaker against the Houston Astros. Yeah. So if they get to 86, you lose.
And somebody just texted in, and they're right. Next week, it'll be they need to go 28-6. And you're right.
Yeah, that's
and
something it's, impossible.
And it's pretty much over. Technically, it's not.
Boach say something like this, and this is exactly what he should say. Like, he's not going to go out to the media and be like, yeah, we're done. He goes, well, we don't look at that way. As long as we're still in it, like we still have a chance that we're going to keep going, which is exactly what you want to hear and exactly what you should do.
So at this point, you just as a player, this is all you do. You worry about yourself and you try to have the best day that you can have today in Boston. Now, it means I'm not saying you don't sacrifice for the team. You know, runner on second, nobody out, and I'm Leody Taveras. I should be bunting or I should be trying to hit the ball to the right side. I'm going to sacrifice myself to get that runner to third with less than two outs. If I get to first base, if I'm Leody Taveras, I know I'm using him as an example. I'm just being specific. I have to steal second base within three pitches. Josh Smith is having a tremendous year. He's slowing down a little bit in the second half, to be honest. Not a lot, but a little bit. He's still having a tremendous year. I need to steal second base within three pitches. Why? Because most likely Josh Smith is going to hit a single. Most likely. I get Corey Seager up to bat. Maybe I don't steal because there's a chance that he hits a home run. Marcus Semien, I have to steal. Marcus Semien is not having a good offensive year. Now, Corey Seager can't steal, but if I'm like a Leody Taveras or Wyatt Langford, and I feel like Wyatt's gotten a little bit more aggressive recently, and maybe they feel more, he gets on base a little bit more than Leody, but like, guys, like, you're not going to hit a double. This team will not hit it. They had 16 hits the other day and had two extra base hits in the game that they destroyed the Yankees in game two of the doubleheader. They had 16 hits. They had a home run and they had a double. And then they had 14 singles.
So I thought a lot about something you said last week and then reiterated it early today. Kind of taking a look ahead at 2025. And so this was another one of my positives for the weekend. And like I said, we really had to work to find these positives.
Oh, no.
Cody Bradford in game two of the doubleheader. He pitches five innings, five hits, seven strikeouts. Obviously, that was the game against the Yankees that they won. But Evan Grant followed up with a column about this. Getting Cody Bradford back on track is critical for 2024 and probably more importantly beyond, because that is one of your homegrown people that you could use as a pitcher. Like, let's say you decide he is a starting pitcher. He costs nothing for a long time. And that's what you have to have to be able to, you know, do your DeGroms and Scherzers and some of the things that they've already done. I'm looking at Cody Bradford, and I'm like, I realize they lost the series. But I'm encouraged by that start because I'm looking at him, and I'm like, man, we need you. Like, we need you to be something.
I like where you're going. I wasn't thinking about that. It was funny. He said that it was a dream come true to pitch at Yankee Stadium, and he remembered rooting for the Rangers as a kid. And he's like, they beat him in 2010, and maybe even in 2011 to go to the World Series. I was like, you know what you need to do? You need to go ask Max Scherzer, hey, did the Rangers beat the Yankees in 2011 to go to the World Series? I was forgetting.
He's like, mm-hmm. No jerk, it was us.
Yeah, and so anyways, to your point of Bradford, just writing it down, next year, most likely your rotation, your top three guys will be DeGrom, Malley, and Bradford. Those are going to be your three major pitchers in your rotation next year. So I think that he has to really step up, not really step up, but if he continues what he just did at Yankee Stadium, which was a great start. I love what you're saying. Bradford needs to really have a solid finish to this year. So you feel like, look, most likely he's going to be our number three starting pitcher next year.
I'm not arguing. I'm asking. Ahead of Dunning then?
I don't know if Dunning's going to be on the team next year.
Oh, okay. All right.
Contract.
Yeah. He's arbitration eligible.
And arbitration, would you assume a lot of the arbitration guys won't be getting a lot of arbitration money?
What you do is you just don't tender them in the offseason, and then they become free agents.
Gotcha. Okay.
I don't know if the Rangers can afford. I know this sounds crazy. I don't know if the Rangers can afford Dane Dunning at $6 million next year.
So all that Bally griping, like Bally was one of the things that was holding that together. But at the same time, it's just a big problem.
As I would argue it is for a lot of teams, but it also just fundamentally depends on what kind of owner do you have. Do you have an owner who is like, I see that I'm making money every single year because the value of my team is going up and up and up? Or do you look at the bottom line, like self-contained to a specific year, and you just lost maybe upwards of $60 million? I don't know what the final number is going to be, but let's say...
Look, I won y'all the World Series.
Yeah, you lost maybe upwards of $60 million in your TV deal. Then are you like, well, guess what? Then I have $60 million less to spend. Like, it depends on what kind of owner you have as well.
And I honestly don't know. Like, I'm just guesstimating, but maybe they bring Dunning back. But then Urania's gone. Like, and then Leiter's going to be your fifth starter next year.
Not Rocker? Quick for Rocker?
I think that they got to be careful with his innings. Years, he hasn't pitched.
Yeah.
Your fourth guy? Because you said DeGrom, Malley, Bradford.
Urania.
Okay.
Maybe Dunning. Okay. But one of them will not be on the team next year. Okay. Like, they can't afford to keep a lot of these guys. Now, the thing is like, I know this is positive talk, and I'm destroying that right now.
Hey, but I'm looking at it honestly. That's why I said I picked up some positives, but you also lost the series, so where am I supposed to go?
Yeah, and maybe Leiter's not in the rotation. Maybe he starts off the year in your bullpen. I think with Rocker, you have to watch his innings tremendously next year. Like, you probably don't want him to go over 120 innings next year.
And do you think you're going to see Leiter soon in the bullpen, like in the next month in this Rangers bullpen?
I would like to say yes. Did they shut him down?
I don't think so.
I think I saw from Evan Grant yesterday that they're considering putting him in the bullpen, but not as a...
In AAA bullpen or Major League bullpen?
No, in Major League bullpen, but not as a... Like not as a Hayes of bullpen guy from here on, but to have him acclimated to being in the major leagues.
Try to give him favorable spots, I guess what you're saying.
Chris Young said to integrate him. By no means are they transitioning him to bullpen.
Yeah, I think that they're going to try to give him some success in the major leagues because they know he has to be a part of next year's team. So the last game he pitched, according to MILB, minor league?
Yes.
July 27th? Was the last game he pitched?
Kevin, we were in California.
So it's been a minute.
Today's August 12th?
Yeah, we've been back for more than a week.
So he's just getting his rest on.
He hasn't pitched a baseball, at least in a game, in 2 weeks?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, well, we'll have to add that to another thing to look into. Like, I wish I had a good answer to you. And then, as you pointed out, more short-term, Scherzer's going back for further evaluation. Eovaldi looks like he's going to get skipped again after they already talked about adding an extra day of rest. And it just, I don't know, it feels a little, I don't know if you can say hopeless or not. At times it feels hopeless to me.
I think this season.
For this season.
Is over.
Yeah.
They're not going to make the playoffs, most likely. 99% chance. At this point, it has to be 1% that they make the playoffs, wherever those...
1.3%.
Yeah, okay, so good. It's at 1%. You're down to 1%. Like, it's probably not going to happen. Watching the hopefully health of Josh Jung the rest of the way, that he stays healthy the rest of the way, that he gets at least 2 months of baseball in this year and stays healthy and has a really, like, say, a good month of September. Wyatt Langford, that he maybe challenges. I don't know where he's at in rookie of the year. He has to have fallen off recently.
He's like fifth or sixth now.
Yeah. So
I'll double check.
So now you're looking like hopefully he has a good September. Yeah. Because let's be honest here. Like, Langford's, I hate saying this, it doesn't mean he's going to have a disappointing career. He's had a disappointing rookie year. After what he did in spring training and making the team and everything, right now he has 5 outside of the park home runs.
I think he would tell you the same.
Yeah, and so
5 over the fence home runs.
Yeah. So I look at it, and he's developing, but he has not been the player that they hoped he would be in 2024. It doesn't mean he's not going to be the player in 25, but you just start. Hopefully, Langford gives you more hope that he could pop 30 home runs, because he's supposed to be a franchise-changing, multi-time all-star.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he's supposed to be. Like it or not, like, that's the expectation on him now. And it's him and Carter and Young who, in the near future, because Semien is getting close to past his prime, if not there. Seager's getting close, maybe not offensively, but I look at it and go, those are the three guys that are going to have to carry the next team to, if the next team, whether it's 25 or 2027, is supposed to make a playoff run, it'll be Langford, Carter, and Young, in whatever order you want to put them, that are carrying the team.
And when I see people text in, I totally get it of like, well, we still have last year. I'm for never sure going to take away or dispute anything about last year. It was the best year of my baseball life. I just was hoping that this team would continue the momentum, because it looked like there are lots of reasons to believe that.
Yeah.
And you go into the playoffs and be like, and you can't forget about the defending world champion, Texas Rangers. And now it's going to be like, we're guaranteed to have a new champion.
And a lot of things can change. I don't think the Rangers record is going to change much from where it's at. I think they're going to have a top 5 pick. That does give you another premium prospect.
Yeah.
Now, you could fall out of the lottery system. Like,
sure,
you could go from having the 5th pick and then the lottery happens and you have the 9th pick. But you might get the first pick. Like, literally, you have a pretty good chance, not the best, but you have a pretty good chance of having the first overall pick in the 2025 draft.
Get the pick.
I believe that's the Texas A&M kid.
Let's shoot for it.
I mean, as of now, we'll see how it all plays out in high school and college and everything.
Pick.
But you're going to get another premium prospect, most likely, after this year's over in late June.
So it's not so bad, Kevin. They got something to look forward to.
I mean, an optimistic thing is, if you're not going to make the playoffs, it does help that you get somebody who's considered a very premium prospect, most likely for Texas out of college.
The next Wyatt Langford.
We're the KNC Masterpiece. Thanks for that, Corey. Coming up next, right here on 105.3 The Fan, I'm pretty sure the answer is no. But let's find out for sure. Is there any way you'd trade CeeDee Lamb right now? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Second and 10, back to throw. Tyron Smith locks a guy up. Right side of the end zone, Lamb! Hello, CD! Touchdown, CD Lamb!
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. I believe the answer is no. I'm pretty sure.
No, CD Lamb did not score a touchdown in the first preseason game.
Nobody did for us. But let's find out for sure. Is there any way you would trade CD Lamb right now? And there's a couple of reasons I thought about this. We're also going to go to Jerry, who's like, hey, I have more stuff to say about CD Lamb. But I also saw a whole bunch of betting odds for where CeeDee Lamb would go and then also what those trade packages would look like. And so I have to admit, I was a little bit intrigued. But first, let's go to Jerry. Cut number 8. What were you really saying about CeeDee Lamb?
I think I got in trouble a little the other day when I said, look, we're not urgent about CD. Well, no one appreciates CD being on the field any more than I do. But let me say this. He wouldn't be taking a snap out here today if he'd been here for a while. You've got to use your head when you expose key players. That gives the other younger players a chance to do it. We know exactly what CD can do, and he's worked out with Dak. And so we wouldn't have him out here. It has really not anything to do with his contract. Dak won't be out here this afternoon. And so the bottom line is, what it is no, there's not that urgency. Now, I understand completely the angst that's happening when you are anxious about and someone says anything about whether you're missed or not. Well, CD, you're missed, okay? But you're not missed out here competing, and it doesn't put any pressure anyplace on us.
Man, that answer was so much longer than I thought it actually was. All right, so he's like, don't even worry about it. But!
Which is true.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a reality. He wasn't going to play in that game.
Agreed.
I think it's a failure of understanding leadership in a room. Whenever your guy's not around, that leadership is missing. If he has become a leader, that leadership is missing right now, and it's not there. And I don't know that anybody's sitting there going, well, oh man, now it's my time to take over. I'm going to show them so that they don't have to re-sign CeeDee Lamb. But I do think that it is a failure on leadership to see and recognize at this moment what they're trying to build. But I don't think CD's missing anything right now either.
I have this question. I'm with you for the most part. I'm like 99% with you. And I asked this question to Kyle Yeomans on Friday, I believe, is I get it. They don't do a lot of cardio during training camp. You would be surprised how little cardio they actually do.
And they
how
lift good weights down the
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, and they're doing things that we don't see maybe, but like, I just
sometimes
wonder.
The coaches are like, hey, you need to work on your cardio, and they do after practice stuff.
Yeah, so CD Lamb, let's just say he misses all of this week of practice, and then he misses all of the next week of practice, and then they sign him. So we are now like, okay.
Leading into game one.
Yeah, you're kind of getting close. Will there be like, hey, and maybe this isn't a big deal, but hey, he probably can't play like 90% of the snaps. He's usually out there for, I'm going to guess 80 to 90% of the plays. He'll go big packages or whatever. Maybe he runs a fly route, catches a ball 45 yards down the field, and they're like, hey, sit out this play. We get it. You're tired from sprinting 45 yards down the field. But do you have to worry about his stamina and cardio the first couple weeks of the season?
Yes, I think you do.
If you wait that long.
That just goes from every former player that I've ever talked to that always says, and it started with Jesse Holly, was the first one I ever heard say it. And from there on, it was every other one agrees. It takes about 3 weeks to get NFL legs. So, I mean, I know CeeLee's a professional. I know he is going to be as prepared as he can be, but it is definitely different when you're not out on the field doing those things. So, yeah, his conditioning might be a little fatigued early in, or late in that game.
All right, if you'll indulge me for a second, I wanted to pitch out a potential offer.
Trade? All
for
right.
CeeDee Lamb. Just see what you think.
Let's be Danny Ainge here. I want 6 first-rounders.
Okay, you will not like these trade offers then.
All right.
So I was reading something on, I think it's Bleacher Report. The bulk of the trade offers are the same, just the player, the extra player being different. But from Arizona, Detroit, Green Bay, and the Chargers, they would all give you a first-round pick for this next draft, a third round pick for this next draft, and then one of their wide receivers. So obviously that rotates from place to place. Like, for example, in Arizona,
Marvin Harrison Jr. I'll take him.
I
don't need a first or a third. I'll do the trade straight up.
I'll take player the third and Marvin Harrison Jr.
Okay.
I'll give him, you're giving him a third?
No, I'll take the third.
No, I'll give him a third. Here's why.
You don't have to pay him anything.
Yeah, I'm being serious. For 4 years, I have Marvin Harrison Jr. on a rookie contract.
That is interesting. Now, this offer included Michael Wilson, who is a third-round pick last year. If you...
Oh, my favorite receiver.
I don't know if any of these will do anything
Michael.
Thing no more clue. For you. Jameson Williams would be the receiver for the Lions.
Has he been hurt most of his career?
And suspended.
Yes.
What did he get suspended for?
Gambling.
Oh, okay, well.
Right?
Isn't is that right?
Was he not part of that group that got in trouble for
I don't recall that.
Okay. I'll look it up.
He was a first-round pick in 2022. For the Packers, it would be Christian Watson. We've seen him.
Solid.
Second-round pick in 2022. And for the Chargers, Joshua Palmer, a third-round pick who might actually be the most productive of the bunch, in 2021. So, across the board, a first-round pick, a third-round pick, and then another wide receiver. So I understand what you're saying about Marvin Harrison, but let's assume
Junior.
It was something like that. Would that interest you whatsoever?
It's weird. I think it's a great question. No. It's just I know that the Cowboys don't do anything like this, so it's tough to put myself into this hypothetical. Like, if we're doing Mavs trade talks or Rangers trade talks, I know that they move and shake, and I know that it's trading is different in all three sports that I'm mentioning, but...
The only reason I bring it up now too is you're right. But the more and more I just kind of want to put your money where your mouth is. Not you, but the Joneses when they're like, hey, there might not be enough salary for everyone. I'm like, okay, there's not. What are you gonna do about it?
If you don't think you can win the championship in the next 2 years, I would strongly consider stuff like this.
Okay.
If I know that, I don't think they know this. I think they assume they're bringing Dak back on like a 3-year, $180 million contract. Yeah. I think that they have in the back of their mind, look, at the end of the day, which is what they're probably going to say.
Sure.
We love him. He's second in MVP. 3 years, $180 million, $150 of it's guaranteed. And we're going to be like, that's a lot. And that's a lot guaranteed. But I think that's what's going to happen. But if they were really going to move on from Dak, what's the point of having a $35 million receiver?
I'm with you. All right, you said no quickly.
Yeah, I'm not.
Can you tell me why?
I mean, I don't think you're going to get a level of receiver that is CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb's top 5 receiver right now. Potentially top 3.
Agreed.
He could have a season this year that could make him the best receiver. Like that changes every single season. So you found a guy like that, and he is going to be productive like that for the next 5 years, probably, I think. You go through with that first and third. Now, granted, hey, man, I think Abradis, you know, there are people out there that are like, I'll find you some players with that first and third pick. Like, and Kevin, I'll tell you what, man, if you want to go ahead and say, Dak, we're done, we're moving on, you now have 2 first-round picks that you could use to move up. And actually, if it's Detroit, you might be lower. But you move up, and you can go get one of those quarterbacks in the top 10.
Can I ask you one more team, then? What about the Patriots? Because the Patriots supposedly were in the mix for Brandon Ayuk.
You're gambling that they stink. But
yes, I am. So what if the Patriots, same deal, they said, I'll give you my first-round pick and third-round pick.
and I'm giving them CeeDee Lamb to make them better. I'm still saying no because you have that. Okay. You have one of those where everybody else is trying to find one of those.
Okay.
And you already have it. And I don't see any reason to go ahead and move on from that. Unless, again, your plan is to take picks and move up to go change quarterbacks.
I just think this is the tough thing with this is the Cowboys aren't all in.
Yeah,
and I don't know, but they're not all out either. They're not like rebuilding. They're not going, hey, this is going to be a transition year and we're going to get the cap right. No, they're not even like the cap's not going to be right after this year. Like it's a weird time. So this, well, what are the Cowboys? I guess my question back to you on this hypothetical trades, what are the Cowboys trying to accomplish the next 2 to 3 years?
And that's honestly my real answer versus what I think the answer should be. My real answer is maintaining relevancy. And I think that is what they will get done. They will maintain relevancy, not move too far out of their comfort zone one way or another. And that's going to work out fine. So like, for example, on the YouTube, I saw Joe Kay go, hey, CeeDee's got a base salary of $17.991 million, I believe. Does anyone really think he's going to walk away from that? No, not at all. Like, I don't want this to get confused. I'm not saying that the Cowboys, by any stretch of the imagination, are going to be without CeeDee Lamb this year. Plus, even if it was just that, they couldn't come to a contract agreement, he could franchise tag him. Then you can franchise tag him again. So you still have plenty of time. But it's Mike's question that has me asking this question because I don't understand. That's not true. I totally understand what the Cowboys are doing. I just don't agree with it. I think what they're doing is let's stay relevant record-wise so we can continue to be the most relevant brand-wise. And I hate that idea. Like, the fact that they haven't signed Dak yet, I'm like, make a decision one way or another. If he only wants to sign for 3 years and you're not willing to do that, move him. If you want to pay him $60 million and that's the only way you'll get it done because then you'll keep him for several 5 years, let's say, do that. Just make a decision.
Now, this also does bleed into the conversation. How many times do you look and say the wide receiver was the difference for a Super Bowl team?
I understand that concern.
I think that if you're in that mentality, then you have to look at the reality, Kevin. What is the difference in all of those Super Bowls? We've discussed this at length.
Yeah.
What are the two things that matter there? Strong quarterback play and great defense.
Yep.
If you're going to be that kind of team, you have to have a great defense and strong quarterback play.
Yep.
So the Cowboys would say, all right, if you're going to make that, if you're going to say that's where we're going, you move on from CeeDee Lamb and you say we're committing every other thing that we have to the defensive side of the ball and making sure that's the best that you could possibly find out there. Because you're going to need strong quarterback play. And when the playoffs come around, currently the quarterback that you're going to end up paying is good.
So think about this. When you talk about how much of a difference the wide receiver can make, or you just set up like you need to be that Super Bowl or bust or Super Bowl and waiting kind of team. If CeeDee Lamb were to get traded, which I don't think is going to happen, do you know who the two odds-on favorites are to get him? The Kansas City Chiefs and the Detroit Lions.
To get CeeDee Lamb?
To get CeeDee Lamb.
Can you imagine St. Brown and him on the same team?
And so that speaks to the idea of, and that speaks to the idea of teams that would be looking at it in terms of, well, we're ready to win now. Obviously, the Chiefs are in the middle of winning right now. And then the Lions, they just had a huge breakthrough this last season, getting back to the NFC Championship. Yeah,
they believe
game.
They can do it again, too.
Yeah.
And they're not, that's not built on any facade of we think we can do it.
No,
that is leadership from the top down that actually believes they can and is committed to it.
Help me out here with NFL contract real quick. I have this pulled up on Spotrac because I want to kind of, you were talking a couple minutes ago about D-Mavs. Joe K. Sorry, D Mavs was right after him on the YouTube. It's pulled up over here. He's not walking away from almost $18 million.
Yeah.
I think he will, and here's why. Signing bonus $7.7 million, and then it says contract term so far 4 years $14 million. So am I adding those up right? He's made in his career approximately $21-22 million.
I thought that the signing bonus was factored into that 4 for 14.
Okay.
But I'm not. But okay. I'm not positive.
Okay, let's
about
just
that.
Let's go with low okay. numbers here. Let's just say over his career he's made $15 million. Okay. Well, okay. after taxes and paying your agent and everything, you got to cut it in half. People don't understand this, but as a
sure.
as a professional athlete, you only see 50% of what it says on these websites because of the fees that you owe and taxes that you owe. So he does have $7.5 million. I'm not saying exactly in the bank, but that's his take-home pay so far playing in the NFL approximately. He can sit out, and we've seen that Jerry Jones always breaks in these situations. He never, if I'm Steely Lamb, if I'm the agent, yeah, it is a scary proposition
right.
to play. He's not going to walk away from that. The Cowboys have never played this game. Because they know that, to your point of relevancy over the next 2 to 3 years to being a playoff contender, yeah. a team that makes the playoffs, they always give in the end because they're like, dude, we're not going to, if we don't have CeeDee Lamb, we're not going to make the playoffs. I mean, let's be honest. What's the record? Let's just say CeeDee Lamb, the Cowboys stay strong and CeeDee Lamb stays strong. Nobody moves and he doesn't play this year. What's the Cowboys record?
7-10, maybe.
Sounds good.
Do you think Jerry Jones is willing to do that?
No.
I don't either.
He's not. So that's where CeeDee Lamb will get what he wants. In the end, Jerry will get scared. And I don't blame him for this either. I do not want this to sound like I take plenty of shots at Jerry and he deserves to me every one that I give. In this, I'm not taking a shot at Jerry. Jerry looks at it the way I just asked you that question. He's in the room. He says, guys, if we stay strong on this contract and we don't give him what he wants and we only offer what we are willing to give and he sits out this year, we're not even going to be a contender in yeah. December, right?
Yeah.
And the answer is we probably won't be. With our wide receiver depth and our running back depth and our team in general, he probably means 3 wins to us. Switch that record to 10-7, guys, and we're in the playoffs, and we're super relevant, and you know we live for another day, and we make the playoffs, and you never know what can happen in the playoffs.
Yep.
So I understand what you guys are saying, that he won't walk away from the $18 million, and that makes a lot of sense to us. We all make 5 to 6 figures, somewhere in there. Hey, different people listening might make millions of dollars. We don't. We don't come close to that. But most people listening, if they have a regular job or making somewhere, let's just say between $40,000 and $150,000. I know it's a big range, but yeah, we get $18 million. We'll never make $18 million in our life. I'll never make that money.
Sure.
I can work for the Rangers forever and Bally's forever and here forever. I will never come close to making $18 million, and most people listening won't either. So that number sounds crazy to us. But if you had right now $7.5 million in the bank, I can probably sit out knowing that eventually I am going to get $100+ million contract. Somebody will break. Either they're going to trade me, which I think is unlikely, or most likely the Jones family, Jerry, breaks and I get the contract that I always wanted because they cannot afford to be a non-contender.
And I don't want to give anything away, but I do want to say this. I think you're right. I hate that philosophy from the Cowboys because if we go down the path we're about to and Mike likes it, I think making a move here could help you facilitate that. Like, I think if this is going the direction I believe it is, I think just deciding we just can't get it done with CD because we can't afford to pay everybody, I think that could facilitate what you're about to pitch out.
Are we bringing back frozen Tom Landry? Is that what we're doing here?
Only one way to find out.
All right, guys.
Hit the music, Reggie.
Mike likes it, okay. And this could run for days upon days as we get ready for college football and the NFL season.
AP polls out if you care.
Well, there's a team that I'm going to assume is in the AP 25 that I think that he has no desire to coach in college football much longer. I think he's only there for his sons. And that is Deion Sanders.
They're actually not in the top 25.
Okay. So here's what I think. And I do think that this is more ESPN-y and more sports talk radio. Understand that this is more of that than this is reality. But don't put it past Jerry Jones.
Because last year we had him on and we were talking about like Zach Martin and other contracts and everything. And he goes, you know, I think you know, like, I like to stir things up. So I don't want to pretend like that's not accurate.
I do think there's this possibility. And just think of this, Cowboy fans, for the publicity and what would happen here. And I'm going to use LeBron James as an example. Now, his son wasn't good enough to get drafted, but still got drafted because of the manipulation. Right now, I'm on Tankathon and only on Tankathon. Shedeur Sanders, his son, is projected to be a top 10 pick. Now, I don't know if he's going to be or not. There's a lot of season to play out. He's projected right now as a 7th overall pick. We'll see how his season, he might be the number 1 overall pick. But would you put it past Jerry Jones if they just miss the playoffs? And Deion is like, I don't want to coach college. Do I really want to go through all of this and my sons aren't even here and just coach 80 random kids for years upon years in Colorado? He has no connection to Colorado. He didn't grow up there. It's not his school. It's not close to where he lives. Like, he doesn't have a connection to the Colorado Buffaloes. It's just there because it was a Division I school from where he was, and it's a major Division I school, and he's turning it around. I'm not crapping on Deion at all. Deion has no desire, in my opinion, to coach college football till 2030. His sons will be gone. His son, most likely a quarterback, is going to be a first-round pick. Maybe he falls into the second. We'll see how this season plays out. But can you imagine if Deion manipulates like LeBron and gets Shedeur? We're not playing for the Las Vegas Raiders. We're not playing for the Indianapolis Colts or whoever it is that has interest in him. We're not even working out for you. We're not doing an interview with you. We already know. It's all, not saying it's planned out today, but if the Cowboys start failing and Shedeur Sanders looks like a real NFL starting quarterback and a real first rounder, think about the publicity, and I'll leave it at this, for the next couple years. If Deion Sanders is the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys and his son is the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys,
good luck talking about anything else.
He'll come in here daggone and everybody too.
I'm not talking to you, CBS Sports.
Yeah, I mean, you already are posted all over ESPN with Jerry quotes, now add Deion quotes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not kidding. Good luck other teams in football on, like, national shows like that.
Sorry, getting, Coach Deion. Coach Prime, my bad. Prime.
Getting attention for what you're doing.
If you have Coach Prime and Shedeur Sanders next year as your head coach and your starting quarterback, first-round pick, I mean, that's a dream come true for, and let's just say the Cowboys end up going 10 and, I do think the Cowboys are going to make the playoffs, but let's just say they go 10 and 7, just make it, get ousted in the first round. That's a likelihood. Or what if they do go 7 and 10 and by the time you get to the end of the year, Dak knows he's gone and Dak doesn't want to be here anymore. And there's just, all right, well, we know he's gone. We know he's going to get a huge contract from somewhere else. And we know that Deion, I don't like saying this, but I think he can manipulate his son here. And I think Deion is a good head coach. It's very different from college, the way he talks to young men or kids, at whatever you want to call them. They're 18 to 22 years old. And what he'd have to do in the NFL, but he knows. He played in the NFL.
What did all the players say about him? He played the position I'm playing right now. He was in the league. He knows what I'm going through. He's been through what I'm going through right now. So I can relate to him, and Deion knows how to relate. And Kevin,
he keeps Mike Zimmer. Don't they have somewhat of a relationship?
I don't know about that, because here's my addition to this.
Because then he helps him, like, the head coaching responsibilities.
Here's my addition. Who is his Aflac compadre?
I don't
Alabama
know.
Nick Coach.
Dawn Staley. Oh, yeah.
He and Nick Saban are tight. And who is tight with Nick Saban?
You're going to say Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick. Oh, both of them tied on as coordinators for Deion Sanders.
What? Are they both going to be defensive coordinators?
But you know what?
I'm having fun with this.
This is very ESPN-y of us.
I can totally see it, Mike. I really can. And I'm just having fun with, like, elaborating on what if that happened. But I could, yes.
Everybody's bringing this up. Bill Belichick. We got into the studios today and it was plastered because, who said it? Asante Samuel. I know Bill Belichick's going to be the head coach of the Cowboys next year. I'm telling you, I think that this could have some legs as the college football season progresses and the NFL football season progresses. Why wouldn't? Jerry has a great relationship with Deion. And you know what Deion has? He has a son who's probably going to be a starting NFL quarterback. And it seems like Jerry and May, I don't know. I have no clue of this. They might be just a little bit tired of Dak Prescott. Not a lot, but maybe a little, and dealing with the agent. I'm not saying a lot.
They've kind of been getting their ass kicked by his agent.
And all of a sudden, you get Deion and you get his son. The headlines and the publicity don't end. And you know what? they might actually be really good, too. I'm not saying maybe rookie year.
But that part is secondary, right?
It's secondary. But you just look at it and go, oh, my gosh. You talk about setting up the Cowboys for success for your sons and your daughter in the future. I got Deion and Shador here for the next 4 years.
And then, like you said, Jerry doesn't even have to talk anymore because Deion will do all the talking that's necessary.
Yeah.
And I don't know about Shador, but he's not going to be Dak Prescott when it comes to quotes. Like, I don't think he's going to go up there and just can everything
father,
the same
like,
way.
Yeah, he's a showman.
Yeah.
I just think this. I don't think it's going to happen. Remember, I'm telling you, just to make this clear. So when everybody headlines this or whatever, because people have definitely taken me out of context plenty of times in my career, I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm not saying this is even a 50-50 proposition. But they're bringing up Bill Belichick already with the Dallas Cowboys. Why not Deion Sanders and then Deion Sanders and the Dallas Cowboys manipulating the draft where Shador Sanders makes it to the Dallas Cowboys pick or the Cowboys trade up a little bit to make sure it's where around the slot that they think they would go and maybe like, I don't know, the Cardinals like, we don't give a crap what the Cowboys think. We're taking them no matter what. You know, like you're like, let's just make sure we trade one spot above the Cardinals to pick number 9 that we get Shador because Deion's our guy and Deion's going to coach his son. And that's what Deion wants to coach his sons. He doesn't want to coach Colorado, my opinion only. But I don't think Deion wants to coach Colorado the next 10 years.
He hired Jimmy Johnson as a college coach to be his coach.
He being Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry Jones. When we had him on a couple years before Mike McCarthy was hired, as they were going through all of that, he had a lengthy quote about not wanting to hire college coaches again.
True.
And I wonder if the Mike McCarthy era allows him to change with the wind and say, you know what? Because I know Deion and I know how he treats me, you know, I wonder if that would be a part of a reality for it.
In the back of my head when he said that, I was thinking he means all the college coaches except for the 4 or 5 that have ginormous enough names that they can
like
easily
Nick Saban,
transition.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That would be a name like a Jim Harbaugh. Yeah.
And Deion fits that category.
All right. I'm just throwing it out there. It's all just a hypothetical and a theory, but that's what they're doing on ESPN already with Bill Belichick next year to the
After
Cowboys.
After the first preseason game.
I'm just telling you.
I mean, if they would have stopped them at the end and would have won that preseason game,
12 to 6
yeah. or whatever.
I don't
we're
know this. If I ask this question to Deion, like truth serum in him, your son gets drafted by a team and he's going to be the starting quarterback. Don't you think he'd be like, dude, Cowboys?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I think.
If you left college football, maybe his dream is to go to Florida State, like to eventually be, I don't know. I don't know what Deion's dream is in the coaching thing, but it's right now to coach his sons. And if he could coach one NFL team, Deion Sanders, what team would it be?
Cowboys. That's what I think.
Dream come true. Shador Sanders, Deion Sanders, and all the publicity you could ever ask for.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors and a special Oxnard guest.
Yeah, let's go out to Oxnard and talk with our friend Brian Broaddus before he does 5 hours of radio today. Oh. Next in The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh,